with disabilities will come to order, please. Good morning and welcome. We're going to have an abbreviated schedule this morning. There was a bill that did not get on the agenda in time to hear. That bill will be heard tomorrow afternoon when we meet at 1 o'clock. That is Senate Bill 1064, I believe.
1064. 5, I believe.
165. That has to do with reimbursement for rural clinics. That's a very important bill. That will be heard tomorrow. We are also going to come back to Senate Bill 1061, and we do have an amendment that is posted on the agenda. That amendment will be discussed tomorrow. And decisions will be made, and the bill will be passed out, hopefully, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock when we have our meeting.
And we do 1077 as well.
And we will do Senate Bill 1077, which is Senator Verger's bill dealing with senior tax relief issues. That will be heard tomorrow. And maybe carried over until Tuesday. Now, just a word about our Senate rules and procedures. Our bills must be out of committee by Tuesday. I don't think there's a problem with that. But we Senate Bill 1061 has been worked on very diligently, and we're still refining that, and we will be ready tomorrow. So today, we will hear SCR 24. This is a memorial to the Hood to Coast, and Leslie McCall, would you come up?
Yes, I'm ready to open it.
So, Leslie, would you come up? We will open the public hearing, and I will turn this over to Senator Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Peter Courtney, and I'm a state senator representing parts of Salem, Jervis, and Woodburn. I live at 2925 Island View Drive, North Salem, 97303. I introduced Senate Concurrent Resolution 24 to acknowledge and to honor the Hood to Coast Relay, often referred to as the world's greatest relay. And I know it's going to be hard for many people to realize. I've actually done the Hood to Coast 14 times.
Wow.
And I'd say, because you look at me, it just doesn't, I know it doesn't work. And I'm scheduled, that if I'm still alive and can make it, to do it again. And way back in 1991 was my first tour to coast, and the only way I could get on it is if my testimony is not correct. No one asked me to replace them. I had to go put my name in a pool on the last days, because teams always lose members occasionally, and they picked me up sight unseen, and when they saw me, they really wished they hadn't picked me up. But I survived that first run. I didn't train. I don't know how you really train for the Hood to Coast. I got through it, even though I'm embarrassed to say that the members of the team were actually taking bets or lots as to who would have to run my next two legs, because they didn't think I'd finish. But that was my first experience with Hood to Coast, and I've been involved actually since 1991, although I missed 2 years because one time the session went so long into August I missed it, and other times it's because I underwent some serious surgery and I just didn't make it. Hood to Coast is a remarkable event for so many reasons. I just wish every Oregonian, if they can't do Hood to Coast in terms of as a participant, I wish they'd be a driver or a volunteer, and they'd understand what I'm saying, because it involves like somewhere in the neighborhood, and I don't know if these statistics are actually 12,000 runners, and I think that's right, and countless volunteers. And it actually is more than Hood to Coast. There's two other events, and I assume Leslie will talk about that maybe as to the two other events that are involved. And it does take place on a Friday and Saturday in late August. I think, for example, this year it's going to be the 22nd, 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. And while it starts at Timberline for the Hood to Coast teams, there are actually two other events that start at Portland and go to Seaside. And in the event, each runner runs three legs in terms of the Hood to Coast, but the other two events they run, I believe, two legs. The event has remarkable economic impact on the communities it works its way through. It's tremendous recreational value. It very much fits Oregon's way of being very active participants as opposed to being sedentary. I'm not knocking anybody who goes and watches events. I'm just saying Oregon is one of the most active states in the nation for being, if you're going to be outdoors, you're doing something and you're active, and there's no greater event than this. It's an extraordinary social event. It's the only event left in my life where I can say I'm still a member of a team, because Hood to Coast, it's a relay. It isn't just an individual runner running a certain distance, even though I don't knock that at all. It's just the camaraderie with your team members is beyond description. It's a great ambassador for Oregon. I believe this year, I don't have the stats, I thought I saw them, I think 35 countries are represented, and all but one state is not represented. And the competition to get in the relay now, when I started in 1991, you could make an application to be in Hood to Coast, and maybe up to just a week or two before, you could chance to still getting in. Now, if you don't apply on the day that you can first apply, you're in serious trouble. The demand to get in this race worldwide is extraordinary. It's a tremendous event for Oregon, tremendous for the participants. And actually, I should have done this 2 years ago when they had their 25th anniversary, and I didn't. And so this year is their 27th. So I think it's a extraordinary event. And I'm going to also highlight the fact that the American Cancer Society, you know, I've introduced a lot of legislation as recently as last session involving cancer, and we have paid a lot of attention to cancer. And they are well on their way. Last year, well over almost $225,000 they raised for the American Cancer Society. Charity has now become a major part of when you make your application fee and things as to what this event is all about in terms of their sponsors. And they're always huge sponsors that help sponsor this event. So I departed from my text of what I submitted. I don't like to read my testimony. You know that, both of you. You've seen. I always like to leave a testimony. Leslie McCall, of course, represents Hood to Coast. She was good enough to come down today and also help us with the wording of the resolution. So I'll take any of your questions, comments, or criticisms, my fellow senators. And with that, I hope you'll favorably consider the Senate Concurrent Resolution 24 and move it to the Senate floor.
I want to go back to your comment about that's the only team that you belong to. Do you not belong to any teams while you're here?
You know, I think the legislature is more of a track meet, if you want my opinion. People show up for their events. They may or may not stay for other events and all that. I don't know. It's a very good question. I've often thought about my life in politics, but I just have to say to you that when I'm in Hood to Coast, I'm in another world. I will do anything for my fellow runners. I will do anything for another team, and other teams have done incredible things for us. We were through exhausted as we were. You could tell when our team members came back, they didn't want to leave each other. So that's a special feeling. I think you can get it in life. I don't think you get it a lot in life. But at my age, if you can get that feeling after an event that physically pushes you beyond description, I mean, I can't get out of bed for 4 days as a result of this event. The fact is, it is a special team event, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would say that it is it's probably my last athletic team thing, if you want to call it that. Looking at me, that I can do at my age and in my life.
Is there a relationship to this committee, seniors and people with disabilities? Is there some connection there?
You know, I think that's what I thought about that. I think as president, you know, I wish you hadn't done that. What did I put it in this committee for? I think we looked at all the resolutions and we decided to distribute them among the different committees. And I just came from one in rules. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, I think probably this should go to a committee that I'm on. This is the only committee I'm on, your committee. So I didn't have anything in mind. I just thought I'd send it here.
Well, it is a fitting subject for our
committee. By the way, you need to know, there are people my age and older, mm-hmm. men and women, who do Hood to Coast.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there are some fierce teams in this
senior issue. And now, seriously, are there disabled people, wheelchair people, and so on? There must be some.
I can't answer. Leslie, see, yes, there are. I just can't give you all those details.
Before we get to Leslie, though, I would like to give our guest, Nicole, an opportunity to share her experience with Hood to Coast.
Oh,
if you would introduce yourself, please.
It's not that interesting. Chair Morissette, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Nicole Armstrong, and I'm just here representing myself. Senator Morissette asked me to share a few words. I've ran Hood to Coast 3 times, walked it on the walk 1 time for Friends of the Children nonprofit in Portland on their team, and I am greatly impressed, Senator Courtney, at how many times you've done it. It's a great race. I love watching it. I've loved watching it become models around the state for other communities trying to raise money and built this kind of a model of coming, you know, a long distance in the relays. It's the hardest race I've ever ran, and it was the most fun I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, I was going to ask you to share your experience in terms of hard and fun. Are those, did those two words go together?
They go together every minute of that race where you want to just stay in the van and not get out, but you know that it's your turn, so you'll get out there and do it, and it's the best feeling when you're done and when you know that you've ran all your legs and made it.
Well, I've only run one. I ran a marathon one time, which was exhilarating in some ways, but I did. I feel that I did train well, and I was able to finish, and I felt real good about it. And so it's, I understand the, you know, getting into something like that, and it is hard, and it is fun to do. So, thank you, Leslie.
Hi, my name is Leslie McCall. I'm from Portland on behalf of Hood to Coast today. Sort of half speaking on behalf of Hood to Coast and half speaking personally for myself. I was first involved with Hood to Coast, actually, when I worked for the American Cancer Society, where I worked previously, and had captained a walk team. Not a runner, still not a runner, so I'm so impressed you've done it 14 times. But so that was my first experience with it, and it was hard, and it's crazy to try and organize 11 other people, and each team has to bring 3 volunteers and your vans and the whole duration of the event. But it's one of those things you can't put into words, the experience of being on a team and the loyalties that you form, and feeling like you are part of something that you can't really ever get somewhere else, or maybe you'll be lucky to experience it at some other point in your life. So that was my personal experience being on a team. Obviously, our team was out there for the Cancer Society, so it was for other reasons than just athletic, but that's my personal experience with it. So as far as the coast goes, you did a great job of explaining the background of it, so I won't bore you with reiterating the facts of it. One of the things that you kind of touched on was the fact that we have a lot of volunteers, and we actually have just over 3,500 volunteers. All the teams that are within a 50-mile radius of the Portland area are required to have volunteers, and so they're almost all Oregonians, which is great. The event is incredibly hard to get into these days. You have to postmark your registration form on opening day, or it gets returned to you. So from entries mailed to us correctly on opening day this year, we turned away 700 teams that just didn't make the lottery. We could almost fill on another entire event. The demand has just become insane. So it's great, and I think we credit so much of the fact that the demand just has just grown exponentially to the spirit of the race, which is firmly rooted in the spirit of Oregon. And I see other people try and start relays all over the nation, and they call us every year wanting to know what we do and how we do it. And I think they have some mild success, but nothing is compared to ours. And I think that's needs to go to the credit of our course and the communities that greet our participants with open arms, and that a large part of our participant base is Oregonians that are active and see value in participating in an event like this. So I think that the Oregon spirit is well represented in our event, and hopefully Oregon feels like we represent them well as well. The team aspect of it, as far as the connection to the Seniors and Disabilities Committee as well, we have teams formed from all different walks of life, different ages, different reasons to run or walk. Last year's oldest runner, I believe, was 82. The youngest runner was 14. So the age is wide there. This year we are incredibly excited to welcome a team of walkers that is all blind, sight impaired. So they're going to have all 12 of them out there. So I don't think you can define that this event is even just an athletic event. We have teams formed from local nonprofits, teams from major companies that use this as employee bonding, teams of cancer survivors, organ transplant recipients. it just, the list goes on, and every year I'm shocked at the letters that we receive after the race from people saying why their team formed and what this has meant for them in their life, and the fact that they feel inspired to return to life knowing that they can accomplish something like this. So the team aspect is definitely important. We are more than thrilled to be able to partner with the communities along the course and promote their fundraisers. And there's lots of booster clubs and high schools that will open their gyms to let you sleep on the comfortable wrestling mats and other such things. So it's been really neat to see them embrace the captive audience of having 17,000 people pass through your community and leverage that to raise money.
I'm sorry, how many people are involved?
We have 17,400 runners and walkers. And about 3,500 volunteers.
Wow.
And then our leadership committee. And
now, is that the, that's not the optimum number, that's the maximum number, but is that?
We're capped, yes.
You're capped.
We're capped by a lot of permits.
Is that enough? Well, I mentioned optimum. What would be the best possible number?
Best possible number?
Is that too many to handle, 17?
No, it's... I don't know that if this is something our race founder would have to answer.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
But I don't know that we would increase even if there wasn't a cap, because we want the experience to be good for the community.
Yeah, that's important, just to have an optimum number. A balance and so on.
Yes. Mr. Chair, let me explain how this is done. I don't know the exact. The walkers start at around 4 o'clock in the morning, I believe, from Portland.
4 a.m.
4 a.m. in the morning, and I believe at that time it was over at either Delta Park. You may have changed, that's where they start from, and I don't know that. And then they will be released every 15 or 20 minutes, they release another team. Timberline, they start the Hood to Coast teams at about 8 o'clock on Friday morning, and then they continue to release them every 20 minutes until around 7 o'clock that night. Your elite teams are released at 7 o'clock that night. That is the only way they can handle the magnitude of that, just the magnitude of 17,000 now, so that you don't completely jam up all the roads and all the communities. And the time you get, your start time, and you better not mess with this, because some teams try to sandbag it, depends upon your 10K time. You're asked to put down your best 10K time, and then they computerize the whole thing. So that's how they're able to handle. And they're probably at a point here, I would speculate, without talking to Bob Foote, who founded the race years ago. He's a graduate of North Salem High School, went to U of O. They probably have maxed out, unless they were to start, much earlier or something like that, because you're dealing with traffic and you're dealing with vans. It's just the dynamic of it is extraordinary.
Now, it's interesting, but then the elite teams, even though they're the last to start, are the first to finish. Is that right?
Yeah, and it just kills them. You can't believe what it's like if you're into your third leg, and this man or woman just literally is a dart that's going by you. Because your elite teams, I do not know how they do what they do with their human bodies. I mean, you ought to watch these elite runners, because they're as beat up as we are, but they're incredible. Yes, they will actually, they will get there before the teams that start at 8 o'clock in the morning. I think the time, it's 192 to 198 miles, depending upon the year. That's how long it is. Your elite teams have won. Your men's best elite time was like 15 hours and so many minutes. The great, what's his name, Alvaro Salazar, when he worked for Nike, put together a team and they did it. The best women's team was like 17 or something hours. My team, last year we did it in 28 hours. So, go ahead and laugh. That's okay. That's okay. We all did our legs and we all ran them and nobody won. So I'm just trying to explain the incredible logistics of this race are mind-boggling.
Okay. Are people still there when your team comes in, right?
there was one race where they had, there's a big party on the seaside when you get there. You finish on the sand.
Yeah.
One year, we came in so late, I'll never forget it. There was nothing there. It was the most embarrassing time. I think it was 1994. There was nothing there but seagulls. So it was pretty depressing.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's a good kind of overview. Did you have other things to add to that?
I guess I would just say that I feel like the public and, you know, there were articles written in the New York Times and London's Runner's World and all sorts of things about Hood to Coast, and I think the public and a lot of journalists and people capture that it's crazy and it's hard and it's full of spirit, but I think what we want to share today is that we're very involved in our community. We actually built a park in Seaside last year. We asked our participants during the floods to raise money for Red Cross, and they raised about $10,000. The American Cancer Society fundraising last year. Our staff's currently mentoring a Scalpoose High School senior project student on sports marketing. We partner with Lake Oswego Elementary School on a fitness program for their children modeled after Hood to Coast. And we just went wherever asked if we can contribute, if at all possible, with a staff of three, because we're a little spread thin. Wherever possible, we do try and step up, and we realize that we're very fortunate and successful in our event. And try to use that as leverage and use our experience to help the community wherever we can.
Now, you did say that qualifications for staff person is that they will have run.
Or walked.
Okay.
I actually told him
Senator
that.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know the president was expecting something clever from me and or dreading something clever. But I, you know, this is serious race. I did some simple math here, and if you have a 12-person team, your average is about 16.5 miles, mm-hmm. Which is more than half a marathon. If it's an 8-person team, it's over 24 miles, which is virtually a marathon. So this is serious running. Mm-hmm. This is not for the light of foot, I guess. Well, it would be for the light of foot. So, you know, I understand the president's passion for this. Being an athlete myself of some sort or another, team is a major thing. And I appreciate your dedication to this because that's serious running. And it is an amazing event. And I really have, you know, I'm not going to say anything negative about this, Mr. President. This is a good event, and I applaud your dedication to it.
Jake.
Well, that's wonderful. Good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for being here, Leslie. Okay. Are we ready for a work session? We will close public hearing and open a work session.
Mr. Chair, before I make the motion, there was a note said the chair has run a marathon, Peter has done Hood to Coast, what have I done? At one point in my life, I ran intermediate hurdles in college. Mm. That's a serious race.
Very serious.
Yes. Okay. And with that, Mr. Chair, I move we adopt SCR 24.
Okay. Senator Cruz moves that we adopt SCR 24. Do we have further discussion? No further discussion. We will call the roll, please. This is important, so we'll call.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Aye. SCR 24 has been approved.
I wonder who should carry it.
We'll have to think about that. Okay. Senator Courtney will carry SCR 24. Proudly, I should say. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to carry over Senate Bill 1061. For those of you who came late, we will deal with that tomorrow at 1 o'clock and also deal with 1077 and also 1064, I believe. Well, whatever. So we will do that tomorrow. And again, I will say that we have a meeting on Friday. We have at 1 o'clock from 1 to 3. We have a meeting on Tuesday from 10 to 12. And at that time, we must pass all of the bills out of committee. We've passed one out today. We will do the other three by then.
Can I ask something?
And, yes, Mr. Bacogian.
And just for clarification, tomorrow the subcommittee on seniors and people, the House Subcommittee on Seniors and People with Disabilities is meeting jointly with this committee. Mm-hmm. However, theirs is couched as a informational hearing, since only this committee can vote on the bill. So if you see it on the agenda, that's the structure.
Okay. Good. Other comments? Okay. Seeing none, we are adjourned.